welcome. It is good to be here with you all this morning. Excited to get to share with you. If we have not yet met, as Laura said, I'm Jim. I've been here for a long time now, and just really love getting to serve this community. It's a privilege. I went to Bunnings yesterday, or Hammer Barn for those in the know. Any Bluey fans out there? So we went to Bunnings. It's one of Leo's favorite places, one of my least favorite places in the world. No, I loathe it, loathe it entirely, which I joke that it's as a result of probably being dragged there by my father regularly. We've volunteered him to take Leo for his next trip there. We think maybe what was traumatic for me might be an adventure for Leo, but... but we went to Bunnings, and we were buying doorstops. So at the checkout, I purchased the doorstops, and the checkout person was like, "Have a good day." And I was like, "You too." And then you know how they have the greeter at the door? I'm heading past the greeter, and I'm kind of expecting for them to say, "Have a good day." But instead they say, "See you." And so out of my mouth comes, "See you too," which was the worst possible variation of that, rather than just "you too," which would be weird when someone said "see you." It was "see you too." It was embarrassing. It was awkward. And I mean, we've all had those moments, right? Like we've all had those moments of those little awkward, you don't hear someone, you respond to what you think they said, and then you realize what they actually said. Just the awkwardness of being humans sometimes, the awkwardness of connection. So I am starting our little mini-series that we're doing through this holidays, which we're calling Being the Church. You can see my beautiful slides there. Look, I know how to download a template like nobody's business. I'm a professional. But where we are headed this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about where we're headed over the next few weeks. I want to talk about some images of church, and then talk specifically about one image, church as family, and then a little bit about some lies that prevent us from being family. So that is where we are headed. So why we're talking about being church. Church is kind of a funny thing. It's a strange, unique organization, if you want to call it that. And it's a bit of a loaded word. What church means to different people is different. Like some of you, if you hear church, you're thinking of the building. Some of you, maybe you're thinking of this event that we're doing right now. Some of you, maybe you're thinking of the people. Some people have, it's like a negative word for them. It conjures negative thoughts. For some people, it's a really positive thing. And it's a really unique thing. It's not like a lot of other things that we do in the world. It's not like a sports club where we gather around one activity. It's not like a charity where we gather around a need. And it's not like a business where we gather around generating wealth. Instead, we gather around the person of Jesus, the person of Christ. It's this unique thing that is unlike so much of what we do in other areas of life. And it's a costly thing. Being the church is costly. It's actually way easier to not come to church. I'm sure some of us experienced that in different ways over the pandemic. It was super easier not to come to the physical building and just to log on to the Zoom. I liked to wear pajama pants for every Zoom call. It was way easier. And we've seen so many people, like you probably know people that are no longer fellowshipping within a local church. Because it's costly, it's hard, it's challenging. But it is also part of how we express God's nature to the world. It's part of what sustains us on our faith journeys and a source of life and community for us. It's how we bring heaven to earth. And it's one of the places that we learn and we grow. And scripture makes it clear that the church is really important to the Lord. Paul talking to the Gentiles in the church of Ephesus about how they are one with the Jewish believers said this. So this is Ephesians 2:19-22. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. We are members of God's family. We are members of his household. So understanding how we be the church contributes to our being able to be the church and to ours and others' sense of belonging in the church. And that's what we're really talking about. When we're talking about being the church for the next few weeks, we're talking about belonging. I have this quote from Brené Brown. I'm a big Brené Brown fan. If you've not read any Brené Brown books, highly recommend them. She says this, "The truth is belonging starts with self-acceptance. Your level of belonging, in fact, can never be greater than your level of self-acceptance because believing that you're enough is what gives you the courage to be authentic, vulnerable, and imperfect." We'll talk a bit more about that. The third purpose of why we are talking about this is because we are building into something for next term, where during the holidays, we're talking about being the church. Next term, we're going to be talking about being overflow. We're actually going to talk about some of the distinctives that make us overflow. As a transition team, we've been going through, we've been examining the history of overflow and what makes overflow overflow. And we have a whole bunch of new people in our congregation, which we love. And we want to explore with you guys some of what overflow is and how we perceive ourselves and how we believe the Lord has called us to be. So we're going to be talking about some distinctives of overflow. So that's kind of where we're headed. It's also still a transition year. And so this is part of us building into culture is re-examining those things. So that's why we're doing this little mini series of being the church. So we talked about how church is this unique organization, this unique thing. But there's lots of images and metaphors for what the church is. Lots of things that are a picture of what the church is, that capture an aspect of what the church is. And well, what I'd love is just shout out some pictures of what the church is. I've already told you I'm talking about family, and maybe you saw things up on the screen and that are about to appear, which is fine. You can call those out, pretend that it was your answer. But what are images of the church, pictures, metaphors of the church that occur to you guys? Just the bride, yep. A building, yep. The body of Christ, yep. Family, yep. Believers, yep. Army, yeah. Trinity, yep. Intergenerational, love it. Yes, love that, as one in Christ. So there is quite a few images, and there's quite a few images in Scripture of what church is. But we are going to look at three specific ones over the next 3 weeks. So church as family, church as body, and church as bride. And I hope that that is correct, that that is what you're preaching about, Zach and Brad. One of the things we love doing in this church is we make some room to have a bit of discussion while we do messages. We know that some people don't love this, don't love having to talk to other people. That's not what I meant. But not loving having to like go through those questions with other people. But there's a value to it because we believe that everyone's voice here matters. We want to give you an opportunity to share what the Lord's been speaking to you, to share your wisdom, to share your insight. And also, this is part of how we connect, how we be family, is we get to have discussions with family. So we talked about some images and metaphors of church. What most resonates with your experience of church and why? So maybe it's one of the images we talked about. Maybe it's one that occurs to you. What metaphor of church most resonates with your experience of church and why? So I'll just get you to jump into groups and I'll just give you like 3 minutes. Okay, go. Thank you. I'm going to share with you about the image, the metaphor that probably resonates most with me in regards to church, which is that of church as family, the metaphor of church as a picture of family, family as a picture of church. Let me first say that family, similar to church, can be a really loaded word. That can be a word that for some people is a really positive thing, that your experience of family was really safe and welcoming and like beautiful. For other people, maybe that hasn't been your experience of family. And so the idea of church as family might not sound like a positive to everyone. But we're talking about a healthy church that looks like a healthy family. A family of wholehearted people is what we're talking about. I'm going to read this verse to you again, but I've actually got it in front of you this time. Ephesians 2:19 to 22. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's family. Citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And I highlighted that family part. A couple of other places that image of family is seen in scripture. See what 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We're children of the Father, which makes us brothers and sisters. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Galatians 6:10. The New Testament is drenched in this language of family. The New Testament writers often refer to other believers as brother and sister. There's this language of family that just drenches the New Testament. It's this really rich image and an image with lots of threads that we can draw, lots of ways that image applies to how we do church. So I'm actually going to get you to have one more conversation. In what ways have you experienced church as family? Okay, I just want to talk about a few examples of family as an image of church that resonate with me. They're not in a particular order, despite what the slide might lead you to believe. But I heard some of these kind of echoed in the group I was just in. So one of the ways that family is an image of church is a place of learning. Family is it's where we learn, especially early on. It's where we learn, it's where we develop, it's where we grow. And that growth and development, it happens for better or for worse, but it happens the best in an environment where there's safety, in an environment where there is intention, in an environment where there is safety and accountability. And I've mentioned previously, I believe, that when I go to Woolworths with Leo now, he will quite often lean out of the shopping trolley and say to people, sorry, as we go past. Because he's heard me apologize a lot when I've almost ran into people with a shopping trolley. People move slow. So he's learnt to say sorry. We also had this moment with him yesterday where he runs around the house pushing cars, much like he does here. But he often says, like, I'm fast, like Sonic, as he's pushing the car around. Love Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm raising a child that is a nerd, much like myself. This is an example of learning. But he pushes this car around going, I'm fast, or he'll go, I'm quick, and we'll be like, that's very quick, bud. And he's been learning a lot in terms of words, and he obviously has cottoned on that if you add that ing, it becomes a doing thing. So he's running around the house yesterday going, I'm quicking, Like, it's not quite right, but I get what you're saying, and I get how you got there. And that's the thing about family, is we learn in family because in a healthy family, there is safety. We learn in family because in a healthy family, there is safety. And it's safe to learn. It's safe to try. It's safe to fail. It's safe to try out new weird combinations of words. Because we know that if we're in a healthy family, if we're in a healthy space, if we fall, we know that someone's going to be there to kiss our hand when we hold it up, asking for a kiss to feel better. Church is meant to be a place where we learn about our identity in Him. And a healthy family creates healthy identity. Church is meant to be a place where we build up each other and encourage each other, where we learn together. It's one of the ways that church is like family. One of the other ones that occurs to me is a structure. There's a structure in family. There is a mother and father who provide safety and accountability. And they're not there to control in a healthy family. They're there to help grow and develop the child. And we have mothers and fathers as a church. They provide safety to help us grow in our faith journeys. And we get to honor those mothers and fathers, which creates a pathway for us to receive from them. And we've had and have some incredible fathers and mothers in this house. I think of Cliff and Nita Smith, who were part of Overflow from, as far as I understand, very early days, and were mothers and fathers, mother and father in the house, not a plural. They're one person each. But they were so important to the DNA of this church, and they developed this church. They created safety. I think of Chris, who sowed so much into this house as a mother of this house. Brad, who is a father of this house. There's a structure that comes with family, and that is the structure of church. It's not a structure to control. It's a structure to grow and develop. One of the other beautiful things about family that is true about church is a family provides inheritance. The resources of those who go before us set us up for success. And the resources of those who've gone before us as a church are the things that have set us up for success. As we looked at the history of Overflow, I got to sit down with Chris, I think I mentioned this, and like hear her perspective of the history of Overflow. And one of the things that really stood out was from very early days, we have had a focus on hearing God's voice. And that's just been part of the DNA for us as a church. That's part of the inheritance that we get to walk in because people cultivated that. We get to stand in the breakthroughs that other people worked for. And that's what family looks like. It looks like getting the resources of those who went before you. We get to do that as a church. It's beautiful. We don't choose our family. We just belong there. Families are made of individuals who look different, but are also similar. And we don't pick who makes up our family. We don't pick I don't have anyone annoying in my family, other than one person who I won't name. Now they'll all just wonder. We're just part of the family that the Lord placed us in. We just belong there. And it's the same with church. Like, we get called to a church and then we just get to be with the people there. None of you are annoying at the moment. No. Look, we all have our moments, I'm sure. But we get to just belong here. We get to know that we can get the things out of the metaphorical fridge. Like, that's part of what being family is. I remember like a close friend I had through high school, their parents would always be like, just help yourself to whatever is in the fridge. And it was such a moment where I felt like family when I was able to just be like, I'm going to make myself a sandwich. That's what it looks like to be family, making yourself a sandwich. And you as Overflow Church get to just belong. You get to just accept that we belong. So just very quickly, a couple of common lies that prevent us from connection, prevent us from being family. First one is comparison. So everyone else is more connected. Everyone else has these great deep connections and I'm just missing out on that. It's really common and it doesn't help us at all. Like even if there's an element of truth, which there very rarely is, it just locks us out from actually being a person who creates connection. One of the other common lies is independence. I don't need connection. I'm fine. I'm good. And that's one I've grappled with myself. It's just easier sometimes, but it often comes from a place of pain because the reality is we were made to be part of the church. We were made for connection. You were made for the church. You need connection. And last common lie that there's the last one I felt to highlight, is that of worth. If they knew me, they wouldn't like me, or I'm too much. Here's the truth. Even if we didn't want to like you, we have to. That's what scripture says. Like, we have to love you. It's pretty clear. But also, like, we are so thankful for each and every person here. We're thankful because you each bring something. You each bring something unique, and we are richer for having you with us. We are richer when you fully show up because there is an aspect of God. You are made in his image, and there's an aspect of God that you bring to the table. So we're richer for having you. We're richer for you being part of this. I wanted to come back to this quote. The truth is belonging starts with self-acceptance. Your level of belonging, in fact, can never be greater than your level of self-acceptance because believing that you're enough is what gives you the courage to be authentic, vulnerable, and imperfect. Part of belonging is knowing that we belong. Part of belonging is accepting that we belong. Belonging in our family, like it's a bit easier because we know that the fridge is ours. We know that we belong. We grow up in that environment and we're able to learn that. With church, it's a bit more of a choice. It's a bit more of a choosing that you belong. The church as family, it's us with a supernaturally empowered relationships where we're empowered to love, we're empowered to forgive, we're empowered to love in an impossible way because God chooses to keep the door of love open to us no matter how we behave, no matter what we do. And because he first loved us, we're empowered to love others, which is how they will know him, how they will know that we are his by the way that we love each other. So that's the invitation, is to choose that you belong. And from that place of knowing that you belong, knowing that you are part of the family, that the fridge is yours, be a place of connection for others. Brad was sharing with me a metaphor for connection, an image for being a person of connection. And he was talking about how we can be a Lego block, which I'm very familiar with Duplo blocks at the moment. I get to build a lot of creative things that I instantly destroyed. It's beautiful. But Duplo or Lego, it has a place to connect and it has a place of connection. We can be just someone who needs connection or we can be a source of connection for others. A friend of mine, he says, community is given and loneliness is taken. Loneliness is something that we take. It's this thing that we can sit in. Community is this thing that we can give. We can give connection. We can give community. So I'm going to pray for us and pray for us to be a people of community. And I shared that story of awkwardness at the top because we all have those moments all the time, right? Like I'm not alone in having those awkward interactions with people. People are awkward sometimes. I say this as an awkward person, but we get to choose to try again in those moments. We get to choose that we belong and to move through those moments. So I'm going to pray for us and then I'm going to get you to get into your group for one last thing. Lord, I just thank you that you made us for connection. You made us to be connected with you deeply and you made us to be deeply connected with others. That you made us for community and you made us to be family in a way that represents you and your nature, that we get to be connected, that we get to be in unity in a way that represents your nature, Father. And we just ask that you help us to be people who go out of our way to connect with each other. Help us to be connectors. And we just ask that you would just highlight moments for us, highlight opportunities where we can be those people of connection, where we can be family. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, where we are landing, what I'm leaving you with is I want you to jump back into your groups, and I've just got one question, and how we will finish the service is I'll get you to pray together. So the one question is, what helps you feel like you belong? So maybe something that really helps you feel like you belong is a hug when you walk in. Maybe it's someone asking you how your day was. Maybe it's like a cup of tea helps you feel like you belong. What helps you feel like you belong? And then I just would love for you to pray together for us to just increase in our sense of belonging. And once you're done praying, go help yourself to morning tea and be family, be the church over morning tea.